Please recite Surat al-Fatiha for the following Marhumin, Sayyid Sadiq, Sughra Sadiq, Mir Jafar Ali, Sultana Begum, Sheikh Zafar Ali, Sardar Begum Ali, Sheikh Ahmad Ali, and Sardar Begum.
Have a quick announcement. There's a white Honda Accord outside. The lights are on. So white Honda Accord. Plate number is R908SP.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
الله سبحانه وتعالى is saying that certainly Allah has chosen Adam and Nuh wa ala Ibrahim and the family of Ibrahim wa ala Imran and the family of Imran over all the dwellers of all the worlds and because today is a day of Jumu'ah which belongs to the Imam of our time, Waliyul Asr, Sahibul Asr wa Zaman. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. And his appearance, his zuhur, is expected on a similar day, like we say in the ziyarat, هَذَا يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ الْمُتَوَقَّعِ فِيهِ ظُهُورُكَ This is the Friday in which your appearance is expected. So I would like to mention a few points about the Imam of our time, Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hassan al-Mahdi, alayhi salam. This ayat of Holy Quran, which I recited, also belongs to the Imam of our time. And the words of Holy Quran tells us that certainly Allah has chosen Adam and Nuh, wa ala Ibrahima, and the family of Ibrahim. And there is a consensus among our Mufassireen that ala Ibrahim refers to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ala Imrana, and the family of Imran, and that's where ala al-alameen, over the dwellers of all the worlds. And the controversy among the Mufassireen, Sunnis and Shias, is about the word ala Imran. Because some have said ala Imran stands for Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, because he's the family of Imran, whereas Hasan al-Basri had said in his tafsir that ala Imran stands for Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, because the father of his mother was named Imran. And in the tafsir of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we learn, please say salawat. In the tafsir of our Ahlul Bayt, we learn that Ala Imran stands for Amirul Mu'mineen wa Imam al Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And the rest of the 11 Imams from his lineage, because Imran is actually the name of his father, Abu Talib alayhi salam. So this ayat is referring to the family of Abu Talib, which is Amir al-Mu'mineen, and his 11 children. That's what Allah, these are the ones whom Allah had chosen to be the most superior over all the dwellers of all the worlds that Allah created. And as the 12th Imam would appear, inshaAllah, on a Friday, we find that he has conversations after his appearance. And in one of those conversations, he will say, وَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ, whoever debates with me about, in other words, about the prophets, فَأَنَا أَوْلَى بِالنَّبِيِّينَ, I am the one who is closest to the prophets. أَلَيْسَ يَقُولُ, doesn't Allah say, and then Imam would recite the same ayat of Holy Quran that we are discussing. And he is introducing, he is going to introduce himself as the closest person to the prophets of Allah. And the hadaf and goal behind this statement is to prove the fact that Imam alayhi salam is the one who is, our scholars say the hadaf and goal is that we benefit from this hadith, that Imam is the one who is going to pursue the mission of all the prophets of God, because he is the waris and inheritor of all the prophets. Every prophet of God stood in his life for, he stood throughout his life for the establishment of the social justice phenomena of the Holy Quran. Al-adalatul ijtima'iyya, how we say it in Arabic. The social justice phenomena of Quran. And every prophet stood for that. And every prophet of Allah worked hard to the best of his efforts for establishment of justice. And every messenger of Allah worked hard for the same goal. And every deputy of every prophet
which every prophet used to have at least one deputy, and some of them had way more than one. All the deputies of all the prophets stood for, did the qiyam and uprising, and they stood in his life, in their lives, for the sake of establishment of justice. Unfortunately, we find, based on the freedoms that Allah has given to us, the humans, we have been showing and displaying a pattern of behavior based on arrogances and attachments to this dunya, takabbur and istikbar, arrogance and rebellion against God. That's the nature of the humankind. We have been showing arrogances throughout the history, and this goal of the prophets never got implemented in its totality. They worked their best, they got the sawab on their niyat and their actions, but it never got personified and enforced practically. And now we find that all the prophets departed, they did their mission. 11 of the Imams departed this world, became shaheed. They did their job to their best. Now is the term of Khatamul Awsiya, the seal of the deputies. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed his strategy. Now meeting with the Imam is no longer a right of any human. Instead, meeting with the Imam has become a privilege. Isn't that right? That's how they say, you know, driver's license is not your right as a citizen of the country. It's a privilege that you have to earn. Isn't that right? So meeting with Imam used to be a right of every human being. Any time Dick and Harry can walk in without any appointment. Isn't that right? He can see the Holy Prophet. He can even use abusive words, bad mouth our Prophet, do insultive behaviors. Isn't that right? 11 of our imams got killed because people were saving their lives in the name of taqiyya. Isn't that right? Taqiyya was never to be meant to be for saving our life. It means for saving our religion. But that was one of those several long list of concepts that have been abused by the community. So people have been saving their lives in the name of taqiyya, and 11 imams got slaughtered. Now the turn arrived finally for the 12th one. So Allah, we can never outsmart the Creator. Allah takes away the 12th of his final deputy, the final deputy and the 12th one. So now no one can dare harm the deputy of Allah unless and until we prove to Allah that we are sincere in our obedience towards the wali. Now the ball is in our court. Now we have to prove towards Allah that we really feel the need of an imam ruling over us. We have to prove to Allah that enough is enough. We are no longer going to separate religion from politics. We have to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we stand for Al-Adalatul Alawiyya, Al-Siyasatul Alawiyya, the politics of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam. We have to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are ready to do the bara'at and disassociating ourselves from the enemies and Yazids of yesterday and the Yazids of today, so we can give a relief to our imam. So the lip services are no longer honored. Enough is enough. 11 imams have been slaughtered. Isn't it right? So we find there are people who have been deceiving their own self. We cannot deceive Allah. Nobody can deceive Allah. Isn't that's the sifat and attribute mentioned in the Holy Quran about munafiqeen, hypocrites. Isn't it? يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. That's what the munafiqeen have been doing, isn't it right? They have been trying to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the believers, and as a matter of fact, they had been deceiving their own selves. So, a mu'min who is walking in the footsteps of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam can never get deceived Isn't that right? Al-mu'minu, the hadith says, al-mu'minu kayyisun fatin. Woman has kiyasat and fitanat. He has that sort of political awareness and intelligence that he cannot, nobody can fool around with a mu'min. So, if we are deceived and we are mu'mins, we must understand there's something lacking in our iman. If our iman was proper, there was no room for anybody to mess around with our faith. That's the basic definition of iman to begin with. Isn't it right? Like my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah in his tafsir was saying that the definition of iman, iman is defined, obviously there's a lot to be said about iman and its darajat and some very elaborate discussion of Islam. But we are talking about the simplest description of iman here. And my teacher was saying the definition how we define iman is that ja'lul mu'taqad fil amr. That's how we call it iman. This is what we call iman. That means placing your belief system in a secure place. So no matter what happens on the outside world, no matter how many crises, turmoils, troubles, calamities, problems, tests from Allah, imtihan that we may face, our belief is secure no matter what happens, regardless of what happens. If that's the case, if that's strong we are, then we can claim to be a mu'min. So we find, you know, whatever happens in the outside world has zero impact on your faith. On the faith of the walayat and steadfastness on the service towards the imams of our time. That's how we are created, isn't it right? We are created to be subservient for the imams. So we find, well, all the prophets were subservient towards our imams. Who are we? When the prophets of Allah are subservient towards imams, when all the prophets are under Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't he say that Adam wa man dunahu tahta liwa'i? Adam and everyone after him, whoever came, that means whoever came after Adam are under my banner. They are under the banner of Rasulullah. They are obliged to obey the Holy Prophet being the commander-in-chief calling the shots. Rasulullah is the commander-in-chief of the universe. Every prophet is under his command. Every mu'jiza and miracle they displayed is because of the lutf and barakat and the visatat in the fail. They were the means in transferring of blessings of Allah through the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt towards the rest of the prophets of God. And that's why they showed the miracles. They are already under the command of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. So who are we? What's our status to show arrogance? But people have been showing the arrogance. And now is the time that Allah takes away the 12th Imam. So no one can recognize except if we have his ma'rifat. We can see. I intentionally use the word, no one can recognize. Not the word, no one can see him. Because, يَرَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَعْرِفُونَهُ. The people in the community will be seeing him, but will not recognize him. Whereas, he is going to, يَرَاهُمْ وَيَعْرِفُهُمْ. He's going to see the people and recognize the people. So when we say there is a hijab and curtain between us and the imam and he's in the ghaibat and we cannot meet with the imam, we don't mean by that statement that he's unseeable for us physically. People are seeing him when he would appear. Some of the narrations tell us that people will say, well, I saw him there. But they fail to recognize that he's the imam. Just like the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam were meeting their brother Yusuf over and over again in their travels, but they failed to recognize that he is our brother. Isn't it right? The story is there in Quran, which is undeniable. The brothers of Yusuf had been meeting with their brother Yusuf, but they failed to recognize. So we are also undergoing the stage of yutm. We are Yatama Ali Muhammad. The community are the orphans of Ali Muhammad. Just like a family loses the head of the family, the father. Isn't it right? The children become orphans. If we realize properly and deeply, we are all orphans. Because the real fatherhood is not your biological father, is not the real father in the broader sense, in the spiritual sense. He is the father, obviously, only the biological father. But from the spiritual sense, he is not. The spiritual fathers are what are mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah, where he says, "Ana wa Ali abawa hadhil ummah." Me and Ali are the two fathers of this nation. Me and Ali are the two fathers of this nation. This is the beauty of Arabic language. The Prophet did not use the "Ana wa Ali walida hadhil ummah." Would it would have been problematic if he had used that, because you don't have two biological fathers. But in Arabic, he did not use the word walida, he used the abawa. Me and Ali are the two fathers of this ummah. And we, in the light of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, are not supposed to displease our parents at any cost. Unless if they ask us to do something which is against the hukum of Allah. Obviously, no one is superior to God. We will obey Allah in that case. And likewise, we are not supposed to displease our spiritual fathers. And at the cost of, if your parents, even if your biological parents are asking you to do something against the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, there is no obedience towards your biological fathers when it causes disobedience towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. And my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuri Hafizahullah again was saying in his tafsir that this ubuwat is ubuwatun haqiqiyya. It's not majaziyya. It's not a metaphorical fatherhood that Prophet is talking about. That's the real fatherhood. Teachings of Islam and Quran are haqa'iq. They are realities. They are not metaphorical. And supposedly, it's not like that. Teachings of Islam are not supposedly to be like that. They are real things of the real world. And we will embrace those realities on the Day of Judgment. And that's why one of the 100+ names of the Day of Judgment is Yawmul Haqq. There's a day of reality where every reality and truth would appear. Yawma Ya'ti Ta'wiluhu. The day when the ta'wil and the hidden meaning of Quran would appear. Isn't it right? So we get out of the Vahir. And we try our best and strive to get deep into the batin of Quran and the batin of the hadith of Ahlul Bayt. So we find that Imam Sahib al-Zaman is the, coming back to the point I was mentioning, he is the waris and inheritor of all the mawarisul anbiya. All the those blessed items and tabarrukat of the prophets are with the Imam. He has the stick of Prophet Musa alayhi salam when he would appear at the Holy Kaaba. He is the one who would have that stick. He has the khatam and the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam with him. Isn't it right? According to the zahir of the riwayat, the apparent meaning of the narration, it seems it's a ruby. And the text of the ring is Muhammad wa Ali sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the secrets of all the secrets. Isn't it right? The text of the ring is Muhammad wa Ali sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find he has the shirt of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The same shirt that when Prophet Ibrahim was long time ago thrown by the Tawud of his time, Nimrud, into the fire. Isn't it right? And he was wearing this shirt from which was brought, sent by Allah from the paradise. And this is the shirt that he was wearing at that time. And the angels are coming one after the other. We find the angel of winds. The angel that blows the winds on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an angel who blows all the winds in the planet Earth. He came to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and said, if you want, I can blow the wind and just, you know, extinguish this fire. Obviously, that's nothing for that angel. What is the planet? You know, this planet in front of Malakul Maut is just like the palm of your hand. How small is the palm of your hand? That's how it is for the Malakul Maut. So Allah knows how to run His business. He knows it very well. So the angel of wind came and said to Prophet Ibrahim, if you want, I can blow the wind and extinguish the fire. He did not accept the help from him. The angel of rain said to Prophet Ibrahim, if you want, I can send down the rain to extinguish the fire. He did not accept. Some of the narrations say that Jibreel also came and said to Prophet Ibrahim, if you want, do you need any help? Alaka hajatun. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam right now, yes, that means I do have a need. Amma ilayk fala. But as far as having a need towards you, no. Some of the narrations say Prophet Ibrahim said, ilmuhu bihali yughni an su'ali. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah knowing my need is enough for me, that suffices for me to ask. There's no need for me to ask because He already knows what I need. This is the level of ma'rifat of Prophet Ibrahim, who is the second most superior messenger of Allah, Shaykhul Anbiya, who is Khalilur Rahman, the friend of God. Isn't it right? So we find that the same shirt which was then in Mufazzal ibn Umar, one of the authentic companions of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, asked Imam alayhi salam, what happened to the shirt after him? And Imam alayhi salam explains, it's a long narration where he tells the shirt was then transferred later on to the, which I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my words, later on to Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, and he gave it to his son Yusuf. And then when Yusuf sent the shirt after long, long years back towards where his dad used to live, isn't it right? That's where the shirt is far away, long distance away, but it started to travel. It is being brought by somebody from Egypt towards his dad, Yaqub alayhi salam. And Hazrat Yaqub said at his home, Inni la ajidu riha Yusufa. That I certainly smell the smell of Yusuf. The shirt is long distance away, but he can smell the smell of Prophet Yusuf coming. The same shirt. And then the same shirt was thrown in the face of Hazrat Yaqub and he regained his eyesight because he became blind because of his son Yusuf, you know, kept far away from him. And the same shirt that Mufazzal ibn Umar is a muwassaq and siqa, an authentic companion of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Lots of narrations have been narrated in our books from Mufazzal ibn Umar, rahmatullah alayhi, great personality. He asked the Imam that what happened to the shirt after that? And Imam says it was transferred to us. So basically, he has the shirt. What is going to happen after that? And Imam says it's going to be transferred to my children. And when Mahdi alayhi salam would appear, he would be wearing that shirt. Please say salawat. So Imam alayhi salam, when he appears, he would be wearing the same shirt that is transferred from prophets to prophets and from each of the Imams. And right now he has it. Isn't it right? So all the mawaris, all those items that were inherited from all the prophets of God are with him. So he's the waris of all the Anbiya. And he, when he appears, we find, obviously, like I mentioned always, that Ayatullah Bahjat rahmatullah alayh has said that the stories of people meeting with the Imams should be narrated to the people, to our youth, so that they can understand that meeting with the Imam of our time is possible. And that Tawqi al-Mubarak which says, فَمَنْ اِدَّعَ الْمُشَاءَلَىٰ وَمَنْ اِدَّعَ الْمُشَاهَدَىٰ قَبْلَ خُرُوجِ السُّفْيَانِ وَالصَّيْحَىٰ فَهُوَ كَذَّابٌ مُفْتَرٌ. Whoever claims to be seeing, that means seeing the Imam, before the uprising of Sufyani, قَبْلَ خُرُوجِ السُّفْيَانِ وَالصَّيْحَىٰ, and the cry. Cry refers to the announcement of Jibreel that will take place. And everyone would hear that announcement of Jibreel. You know, يَسْمَعُ مَنْ بِالْمَشْرِقِ وَمَنْ بِالْمَغْرِبِ. Some other books tell us that everyone in the East and the West will hear that voice of Jibreel in their own languages and they would understand it. This is only about this world in their own languages. When we are put down into our graves, then there will be no other language except Arabic. But we are talking about the planet Earth right now, the life here before we die. After the death, you know, every single human being speaks Arabic. A believer or a disbeliever, isn't it right? So, you know, Arabic is the future. Let me say it in that word. Arabic is the future. It's not a big deal, brothers and sisters, if we end up speaking Arabic in the grave, because even the agnostics and atheists, isn't it right? Those who have nothing to do with Allah will also, mushrikeen and mulhideen and kuffar and munafiqeen, every single person would end up speaking it. But it's a big deal if we learn the values of Quran and Ahlul Bayt in our lifetime. That's the big deal, that we give importance. Isn't it right? When the enemies of Islam can learn the Arabic, isn't it right, from their own sources, to say for the sake of damaging and rooting out the Islam, we who believe in the walayat of Ahlul Bayt can also learn it. After the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah alayhi, added Arabic as the second official language in Islamic Iran. So our youth get familiar with the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, familiar with the values of Quran which are found in the Arabic. Isn't it right? So we find that the announcement of Jibreel will be heard by everyone in the world. And Imam alayhi salam in that tawqi' al-mubarak was saying that, Allah, وَمَنْ اِدَّعَ الْمُشَاهَدَ, whoever claims to be seen, that means seeing the Imam alayhi salam, قَبْلَ خُرُوجِ السُّفْيَانِ, before the uprising of Sufyani, وَالصَّيْحَ, and the cry, فَهُوَ كَذَّابٌ مُفْتَرٌ, he is a liar. So we have been stopped not to claim. That's what our scholars say. And those people who have met with the Imam, they never claim that they have met. Isn't it right? It's not even allowed to claim that. The stories that we have in our hands have been usually narrated after the life of those people. Or unless otherwise, exceptionally, if Imam alayhi salam himself commands somebody to tell his story in his lifetime, if Imam does that, then he would be allowed to do so. Please say salawat. Otherwise, nobody claims that. Those stories always surface up after the death of these people. But it's possible. The bottom line is that it is possible for a person. The hijab which is between us and the Imam is not a material curtain hanging somewhere in the Middle East or wherever. You know, it's a curtain of the lack of ma'rifat. It's the curtain of jahl. It's the curtain of ignorance about the teachings and ma'arif and high-level teachings and concepts of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. It's the curtain that belongs to the lack of ma'rifat. That means we fail to recognize the Imam. Ma'rifat means, in the simplest words, again, it's a huge concept of Islamic value system, the ma'rifat. But in the simplest possible words, ma'rifat means to learn the duties towards the Imam of our time and practicing all those duties in their totality. That's the simplest description of ma'rifat. So we learn all the fara'id and duties towards the walayat of the Imam of our time, and we perform all those duties. Not just the personal duties, al-fara'id al-infiradiyya, which are very easily done. And even in the Zionist Israel, you'll find nobody blocks a Muslim from practicing Islam minus walayat. Islam minus walayat is never blocked. Isn't it right? You find is government of Israel stopping people or Muslim from praying or fasting? Praying and fasting was something that was done by Umar ibn Sa'd as well. Isn't it right? Umar ibn Sa'd, danatullah alayhi, was leading the Salat in Zohar Jama'at on that side. And Sayyidul Shuhada Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam is leading the Zohar on this side. So are we still that simple minded to consider the hollow prayers without the walayat to be accepted in the eyes of Allah? This is the Islam of convenience, I call it. Islam of convenience, the loves of even the enemies of Ahlul Bayt have been practicing it. You find the masjids of Wahhabis may be more beautiful than some of our mosques. Apparently. Isn't it right? So, are we simple-minded after 11 of Imams became Shaheed? Are we still that much simple-minded to consider just the apparent Salat and Psalm and worships of people to be enough for the success? Without the Walayat of Ahlul Bayt?
Nare Haydari!
Well, unfortunately, that's how some people are. They do consider it sufficient. That's why they are practicing it. Isn't it right? Their Islam is a non-Walayi Islam. Isn't it right? So, again, my teacher was saying in the tafsir, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. This ayat of the Holy Quran, today I completed for you your religion. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and perfected upon you my blessing. Wa raditu lakum al-Islama deena, and I agreed, I got pleased for you for Islam, you know, Islam being a religion. In other words, my teacher was saying, this ayat of Holy Quran was revealed at the occasion of Ghadir, after the Holy Prophet announced the walayat and hukumat of and khilafat of Imam Ali. Isn't it right? So this ayat is a slap on the face of all those people who claim that I believe in Islam and I am a believer, but they are still following non-political Islam. It's a slap on their face. You failed to understand the walayat of Ali didn't go through. You didn't digest the walayat of Ali. This Islam without the walayat and hukumat of Ahlul Bayt is the la'nati and mal'oon Islam, which is not complete. The ayat al-yawma akmaltu lakum arrived after the announcement of the walayat of Ali and the hukumat and khilafat of Ali alayhi salam. Without the hukumat and walayat of Ahlul Bayt, even Islam is incomplete, and Allah did not agree with that kind of Islam. That's the Islam of Kufa. This is the Islam of Kufa. Lots of people are still following Islam of Kufa. Isn't it right? That allows their praying and fasting and doing hijab and khums and all that. Isn't it right? And they are silent in front of the tahuts. This Islam is a lanati, mal'oon, cursed Islam. We proudly read the ziyarat of Ashura and send lanat on the people of Kufa. If this Islam, Islam minus politics, allows Hussein ibn Ali to get slaughtered next door. Islam minus walayat lets Hussein to get slaughtered next door of Kufa. This is the lanati Islam that some people are even today following. They talk about Ghadir, but they still follow the non-political Islam without the siyasat al-alawiyya of Amir al-Mumineen. Islam minus walayat. Lots of people are following, making a center of $12 million and putting a ban on all those ulama who talk about the Yawm al-Quds. Isn't it right? It's a very frequent thing. Islam minus walayat. They fail to understand the walayat of Ali in Ghadir. Fail to understand al-yawma akmaltu lakum. What's the meaning of the ayat? It's slapping on their face that you fail to understand the ABC of Islam, which is walayat of Ahlul Bayt. It's like, just like in English they say all roads lead to Rome, and the Islam of Ahlul Bayt, we proudly say all roads lead to the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. So we find, because of this behavior, because of getting far away from the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, we find we have been giving a hard time to the Imam. So we are unable to recognize, we didn't do our duty, not just the infiradi and individual and personal types of duties. We are required to do the social obligations, we were required to do the financial obligations, we were required to do the political obligations towards the walayat. So we cannot let the Tahuts to have their agenda to succeed and 11 of Imam get slaughtered because Banu Umayya were ruling, the Tahuts were ruling, Banu Abbas were ruling, and we were silent. And some were even supporting and working for them. Isn't it right? Ziyad ibn Abi Salama is a Shia in the time of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. And Imam al-Kadhim meets with Ziyad ibn Abi Salama and says, إِنَّكَ تَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ السُّلْطَانِ. Imam al-Kadhim said to him, you work for the governor, ruler? And he said, Naam, yes, I do. I work for the Tawud government, in other words. And Imam says, Walema, why is that so? And he says, well, and a common excuse. I have a family to feed, isn't it right? I didn't have a job, so that's what I found, in other words. So Imam Al-Qadr, look what he replies back to this kind of person. Say, all these scenarios we have been told in the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, unless we want to turn our blind eye to all that, those teachings, what are some people expecting? You want Allah to send another 124,000 prophets of God so that you will end up opening your eyes? Is that what you're expecting? That's never going to happen. Are you expecting Allah sends another 12 Imams so you get guided? If you are serious, you can get guided even today, because all these teachings have been told over and over again. So Imam Al-Qadim alayhi salam said to him, لَأَنْ أُسْقَطَ مِنْ حَالِقٍ. If I got thrown from the rooftop, فَأَتَقَطَّعُ قِطْعَةً قِطْعَةً, and my body gets torn into pieces, أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَطَعَ عَلَى بِسَاطِ رَجُلٍ مِنْ حَهُلَى. Is more beloved in my eyes to put my step over the carpet of anyone among them. If I am thrown from the rooftop down, so that my body is torn into pieces, that's more beloved in my eyes than stepping over the carpet of a person among them. Look at the behavior of the Ahlul Bayt. Why was that happening? Even in times of Ahlul Bayt, I already said, we were separating religion from politics and giving the hard time to the 11 Imams. So they got slaughtered and the agenda of Tawahid was successful. So they killed the Imams. And we were sleeping in the name of Taqiyya. Instead of protecting the religion, we were protecting ourselves. Isn't it right? Didn't Imam Salih alayhi salam say, At-taqiyyatu dini wa dinu abai? Taqiyya is my religion and the religion of my forefathers. So we understand in the hadith, all the Imams used to do taqiyya. Isn't it right? But taqiyya means protecting the religion. So they were protecting the faith. Imam Hussain did taqiyya. He protected Islam and Quran, but did not protect his life. All the Imams did taqiyya. They protected the religion and the sharia, but they did not protect their life. If they were protecting their life, they would have been saved physically. Isn't that right? But look at their concepts are upside down. Well, that also has a very obvious reason, because the source of knowledge is the member. Unfortunately, most of the people in our community, unfortunately, don't have the time to read books. Isn't that right? We were supposed to read books, but most of the people don't have the time to do so. So our entire extent of knowledge for most of the people is restricted to what we hear from the member. And that's another big story to discuss, that what sort of people are invited by so many centers, generally speaking, isn't it right? Who have zero qualification from any Hausa learning system. Isn't it right? But that's how some people are. अपने चखारे के लिए मदरसा तो होनी है. That's the way we are behaving. Isn't it right? So we find that this pattern of behavior, it's backfiring our own selves. So we fail to understand our fara'is and duties towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. So because we are inviting non-qualified people to invite. If somebody asks you, you have a surgery of your son, you know, you can take your son for the surgery of his knee to this guy who was a medical college dropout. He just studied in the medical college for a year and a half. Are you going to take your son for your son's knee surgery to this guy who studied for a year and a half and he's a medical college dropout? Obviously not. What if 10 people come and insist on you? No, brother, he's a very nice mu'min. Why don't you take your son for the surgery? You're not going to do that. What if 1 billion people insist on you? They're still going to refuse it. That's what the people say. Ni maulana hamari to majma nahi aayega. Agar humne falan sahab ko nahi bulaya to majma nahi aayega. Yehi kehte na. Even 1 billion people insist on you to go, you know, take your son to this guy who was a medical college dropout. You're not going to take your son to him. But we have been, even some of our academically qualified people, I'm sorry to say, even some of our academically qualified people, when it comes to Islam and spirituality and minbar, are behaving like blank slate ignorance. And this is what is backfiring our community, because we ask for it. We are not serious to learn the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Isn't it right? We are inviting those people who never fulfill the merit. You go in America to seek a job, they ask about your qualification. And they don't give you, they ask about your qualification, your job experience. But how many people are asking for the qualification of the scholars before inviting them to make them sit on the minbar? Didn't Imam Hassan say to the Tahut of his time, get off the minbar of my Baba? Didn't he say that? Did he say that? And this is what Imam Hussein himself said. سمعت جدي رسول الله يقول إذا رأيتم معاوية على منبري فقلوا بطنه. I saw my grandfather Rasulullah saying, if you happen to see Muawiyah on my minbar, فقلوا, rip apart his stomach. Which is a metaphor in Arabic, let me kill him. And then Imam Hussein said, وَقَدْ رَآهُ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ. The people of Medina certainly saw him, that means Muawiyah, on the minbar. فَلَمْ يَبْقَرُوا, did not kill him, in other words. فَابْتَلَاهُمُ اللَّهُ بِيَزِيدَ الْفَاسِقِ. So Allah subjected them to a ruler like Yazid, a facet like Yazid, in other words. Yazid who's facet. We asked for it. This is the punishment. People were subjected. The people get the government they deserve. The people get the government they deserve. They ask for it. So we find, the community gets the alim they deserve. Isn't it right? The community, every community gets the alim they deserve. Because Imam Ali has said in his hadith, Al-ulama'u hukamun ala nas. Scholars are the rulers of the people. Sadaqa Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. Certainly he said the truth. So if because our member was incorrect, the information, the set of duties, the all elaborate duties towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt were not mentioned because the guy who's telling himself did not study. How would he tell you when he doesn't know himself? Right? So we fail to understand the duties. When we fail to understand the duties towards the all-inclusive duties towards the walayat of the Imam of our time, we would fail to practice those duties. So this lack of learning the duties and lack of practicing the duties, lack of ilm and amal, ended up in the lack of ma'rifat. So there is a curtain between us and the Imam. This is the summary of what happened. So when we find somebody asked Imam alayhi salam, questions used to be written in the Al-Ghaybat al-Sughra, the lesser absence period time, in the written form, given to their deputies. Imam, deputy. Singular. Imam didn't have two deputies at one time. It's a principle of Islam. You cannot have two deputies at one time. One person has to be the deputy. That's the principle. Isn't it right? Hazrat Musa alayhi salam had one wasi and deputy, Hazrat Harun. And when he died in the life of Prophet Musa, then Allah appointed Yusha bin Nun, Joshua, to be his next deputy after the death of Harun. So there has to be only one deputy at one time. You cannot have two na'ib, and the same applies even today in the time of ghaybat. One mustahid can serve as the na'ibul imam. We respect all the maraji. It's wajib to respect our maraji. But one has to be the na'ib. You cannot have two at the same time. And the same happened in time of ghaybat al-sughra as well. And the same happened throughout the history of Islam. So in the Ghaybat al-Sughra, in the lesser absence period, we had four deputies in total, but Imam appointed them, but they were one after the other. Not two at the same time. But when one died, then the second was replaced by the Imam. Second died, the third was replaced. You cannot find, it did not happen. As a matter of fact, it did not happen that there were two deputies at one time.
Isn't it right? I don't know why some people feel upset about the principles of Shia faith when you talk like this. There has to be one deputy at one time. It's theoretically, ideologically impossible in the Shia faith, in the Shia religion. So we find, and each of those deputies in the lesser absence period, people were writing questions. So Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, in the time, Imam al-Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salam used to meet with his Shias from behind, some of his selected Shias only, not all of them, the narration says. When the time turn came for Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, he used to meet with his Shias from behind the curtain. And our scholars say that's how our Imams are gradually preparing for the community to get prepared for the time of the 12th Imam, which is about to happen, and then he's going to have a ghaybat. And nobody would be seeing him, you know, except those specially few privileged people, but nobody would see him. So Imams are preparing the people. So Imam Askari Islam was meeting with the Shias from behind the curtain. And And when the Ghaibat al-Sughra, the lesser absent period began, then we find that now Imam is not, you know, and people cannot meet with him, except the few privileged ones. Nobody can meet with him. And people are sending queries to the deputy.
So now that's how they're trained by the Imam, to follow the deputy. Follow the deputy. Turn to the deputy. Learn to behave ourselves. We are not capable to handle and to obey the Imam. Are we capable to obey the deputy? This is what Imam is testing us. Are we capable enough spiritually and in terms of our obedience to support the deputy? This is what we are trained in time of Ghaibat. One of the things about which we are trained. So we are now obliged to interact with the deputy. Queries have been sent to the deputy in the written form. People used to send the query, he used to transfer, meet with the Imam, give the queries to Imam, and the answers used to arrive on behalf of the Imam, which we call in Ilm al-Hadith, we call it At-Tawqi' al-Mubarak. Tawqi' are those of the narrations from Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam, which came in the written form to his specifically assigned deputy in the lesser absence period. And now we find when the Ghaibat al-Kubra started, we find Imam al-Islam did not appoint anyone by name, so we don't call it Na'ibul Khas, we call it a Na'ibul Aam, the generally assigned deputy, which is assigned by the conditions. So we call our mujtahid, and we only follow that mujtahid who is called Jami'u Shara'it, someone who fulfills all the conditions mentioned in the hadith of Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam. So, Jami'u Shara'it, conditions fulfilling mujtahid need to be followed. Who is that? Find out. That's your soul, that's your spirituality, that's your iman, that's your ma'rifat, that's your level of taqwa. This is what defines your entire destiny in dunya and akhirah. Go and find out, do some efforts, find out what the Ahlul Khibra, the expert professors of the Hawza, have said in their written witnesses, who is the most qualified Jami'u Shara'it, conditions fulfilling mujtahid. This would show, one of my colleagues and one of the fellow, you know, respectable alim, he was saying to me, my friend, that doing the taqleed is no less than doing ijtihad. Which is kind of, you know, very good statement, because obviously it takes a lot of effort to do the taqleed properly. Isn't it right? So we find it's our job to distinguish, based on the witnesses of Ahlul Khibra, who is the Ahlul Khibra, who is the conditions fulfilling mujtahid. So we are now trained to obey the deputy properly. If we obey towards the deputy, that's how Imam is going to test and rely upon our obedience. If we are unable to obey the deputy, we cannot be trusted. We don't deserve to be trusted. Isn't it right? So we find that Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, when Ibn Mahziyar, Muhammad Ibn Mahziyar, who was the uncle of Ali Ibn Mahziyar, he received a ring from Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. He gave him the ring, and Muhammad Ibn Mahziyar went towards the Holy Kaaba. He was doing tawaf, and during the tawaf somebody said to him, Ajib Mawlaka, let me respond to the call of your Mawla. And so he went there to meet with Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. He's a very respectable Shia mu'min. Isn't it right? So we find that he thought in his mind that maybe Imam Mahdi alayhi salam wants to take the ring that his dad, Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, gifted to me. So when he meets with the Imam, Imam said, we are the Ahlul Bayt. When we give a thing to somebody, we never take it back. That's how kareem they are. Whenever they give something, they never take it back from anyone. So we find Imam alayhi salam actually gave him another ring. And he was thinking in his mind about the situation when in this time, in other words, how many less people have the privilege to meet with the Imam, what would be the condition of Shias in the time of Ghaibat, where people widely will not be able to see the Imam. Obviously, it's a very big test. You know, the hadith says,
that Imam alayhi salam, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam says, is, and I'm coming to the end of my speech very soon. Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam says, إِذَا فُقِدَ الْخَامِسْ مِنْ وُلْدِ السَّابِعْ فَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي أَدْيَانِكُمْ. When the fifth one is missing from the children of the seventh, then remember Allah about your religion. Obviously, Imam Mahdi al-Islam is the fifth son of the seventh Imam. Isn't it right? When the fifth one is missing from the children of the seventh, then remember Allah about your religion. لا يزيلنكم عنها. Nothing should derail you from the religion. This is what the enemies of Islam are trying to do. You know, we find the state is raising the children in so many of the states. In so many of the countries, the state is raising the children. Whereas in Islam, the parents are supposed to raise the children. There's a huge difference between the two things. We don't want our children to get brainwashed. Isn't it right? So they have a mindset already defined by kuffar. And they're now trying to, you know, chip in a few of the things that some people are trying to bring in few things of Islam inside the kafir-sponsored mindset. It becomes a mixture, neither Islam nor kufr in its purity. So it's not going to work, neither for them nor for us. Maybe for them, but not for us. Isn't it right? So we find that we must be very particular that Imam alayhi salam said, فَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي أَدْيَانِكُمْ. The situation right now, brothers and sisters, is the Shia religion is the only religion surviving on the planet Earth in its purest form, with its pure values and principles maintained, unchanged and unimpaired and unpolluted, versus the whole world who has been dragged towards secularism. So it's only the only religion, the Shia religion in its pure form. No other religion is in its pure form. Every religion is polluted. Isn't it right? Changed, altered, things added. Bibles are reviewed every 4 years. Isn't it right? Some of the sects of the Christians review the Bible for every 4 years. So it's only the Shiite Islam versus the whole world dragged towards secularism. So look at what Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam had already warned us. When the fifth one of the seventh is missing, then remember Allah about your religion. La yuzilannakum anha. Nothing should derail you from the religion. Innama hiya mihnatun imtahana Allahu biha khalqahu. This is a test that Allah has tested his creatures through that. So we are tested by Allah. How do we behave towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt? How do we behave towards the deputy of the Imam? Proves that how we behave towards the Imam himself. So we find, how much do we disassociate from the enemies? So that's the prerequisite of claiming that I love Imam Ali alayhi salam. Okay, then can you say, I also love Muawiyah? That doesn't add up. It's not a rocket science. If you have to disassociate yourself from the enemies of Imam Ali before you end up claiming, I love him. Because attaching yourself with his enemies, you know, Kazeba, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Kazeba man idda'a mawad mahabbatana walam yatabarra min aduwina. The one who claims that our love and did not disassociate himself from our enemy is lying. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam considered this person is lying if he claims that I love Ahlul Bayt but is not disassociating from the enemies. So lots of people are serving the tawahid and zalimeen. So this is our test, how we behave towards the walayat, how much we understand this religion of Ahlul Bayt, how we are behaving towards the deputy. Imam Hussein also did not trust the people of Kufa unless and until he would make sure first what is their behavior towards the deputy of Imam al-Hussein, Muslim ibn Aqil alayhi salam. And didn't the Holy Prophet say to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Inni uhibbu aqilan hubbayni. Mujhe aqil se dohri muhabbat hai. I have a dual love for aqil. The brother of Imam Ali is Aqeel, the elder brother. inni uhibbu aqilan hubbain, mujhe aqil se dohri mohabbat hai, hubban lahu wa hubban li hubbi abi talib lahu. Yani mohabbat, ek mohabbat ka sabab to aqil se aqil ki khatir mohabbat hai. Yani khud aqil is qabil hai ki unse mohabbat ki jaye. Wa hubban li hubbi abi talib lahu. اور دوسری محبت کا سبب یہ ہے کہ ابو طالب کی خاطر, یعنی ابو طالب کو چونکہ عقیل سے محبت ہے لہذا پیغمبر کو بھی ہے. تو معلوم ہوا کہ جناب ابو طالب کا محبت کرنا پیغمبر کی نگاہ میں معیار محبت ہے, معیار محبت ہے. حب لہ و حب لحب ابی طالب لہ. اور پھر کیا فرمایا مولا سے, فرماتے ہیں پیغمبر اکرم, وَإِنَّ وَلَدَهُ لَمَقْتُولٌ فِي مَحَبَّتِ وَلَدِكَ, اور عقیل کا بچہ تمہارے بچے کی محبت میں قتل کیا جائے گا. کیا شان ہے جناب مسلم ابن عقیل کی. مبارک ہو آپ کو میرے مولا جناب مسلم ابن عقیل کہ آپ مولا امام حسین کی محبت میں قتل ہو رہے ہیں. کیا شان ہے, کیا عظمت ہے آپ کی. حسین کی محبت میں قتل ہونا تو افتخار ہے مومن کے لیے. وَإِنَّ وَلَدَهُ لَمَقْتُولٌ فِي مَحَبَّتِ وَلَدِكَ, اور یقیناً ان کا بچہ آپ کے بچے کی محبت میں قتل کیا جائے گا. اور پھر پیغمبر نے کیا فرمایا تھا, تَدْمَعَ عَلَيْهِ عُيُونُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, مومنین کی آنکھیں گریا کریں گی مسلم ابن عقیل پر. وَتُصَلِّ عَلَيْهِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, اور اللہ کے مقرب فرشتے مسلم پر درود بھیجیں گے. معلوم ہوا کہ روز قیامت تک اللہ کے مقربین جناب مسلم کے اوپر درود بھیج رہے ہیں, اور تمام مومنوں کی آنکھیں, مومنین کی آنکھیں گریا گناہ ہیں جناب مسلم کے اوپر. کیا شان ہے, جب میرے مولا نے بھیجا ہے تب نمازیں پڑھنے کے لیے تیار ہیں, کیونکہ دین و سیاست کو جدا سمجھتے ہیں, ولایت کے خائن ہیں, تاغوتوں کی تقویت کر رہے ہیں, دنیا داری کر رہے ہیں دین کے نام پہ کوفے والے. نمازیں تو پڑھنے کے لیے تیار ہیں, جمع غفیر موجود ہے جماعت میں مسلم کے پیچھے, مگر اب جو مسجد سے نکلتے ہیں اور دار الامارہ رائل کمپاؤنڈ میں جو داخل ہوئے, تو اب روایت کہتی ہے کہ اس دور جب داخل ہو رہے تھے تو کوفے کی شیعہ عورتیں آ رہی ہیں, اپنے اپنے بچوں کے ہاتھوں کو تھام رہی ہے, you need to go back to your home, واپس اپنے گھر میں جاؤ, واپس اپنے گھروں میں جاؤ. عورتیں آ رہی ہیں بچوں کو, مردوں کو پکڑ پکڑ کے مسلم سے دور لے کے جا رہی ہیں. یہاں تک کہ میرے مولا کے نائب جب دار الامارہ میں داخل ہوئے اور اب جو دیکھا تو ایک شخص بھی ان کے ہمراہ نہ تھا. یعنی مولا امام حسین کا نائب یکو تنہا دار الامارہ میں ہے, بھوکے اور پیاسے, کوئی کھانے کو پوچھنے والا نہیں ہے, زبانی دعوے کرنے والے نہ جانے کتنے ہیں, کوئی پانی دینے والا نہیں ہے. جناب مسلم نے مسلم بھوکے اور پیاسے غریب الوطن یکو تنہا امام حسین کے نائب کوفے کی گلیوں میں چل رہے ہیں, یہاں تک کہ ایک مومن توہا کے گھر کے سامنے بیٹھ گئے, تو آ کے گھر کے سامنے جناب مسلم بیٹھ گئے. اب جو مومنہ نکل کے آئی پہچانتی تو نہیں تھی, اس مومنہ سے کہا, یا امت اللہ اسقینی ماءً, اے کنیز خدا مجھے پانی پلاؤ. اس مومن, کتنا ثواب ہے اسلام میں ظاہر ہے پانی پلانے کا, مومنہ نے پانی پیش کیا, اس اجنبی انسان کے لیے پانی پیش کیا, آپ نے پانی تناول فرمایا, پانی پیا اور مومنہ گھر میں چلی گئی. تھوڑی دیر بعد جھانک کے دیکھا تو یہ اجنبی شخص تو ابھی بھی گھر کے سامنے بیٹھا ہے. آ کے کہتی ہے کہ اے شخص تو اپنے گھر کیوں نہیں چلا جاتا. تو جناب مسلم نے جواب دیا, جس کا کوئی گھر ہی نہ ہو وہ کہاں جائے. تو مومنہ نے پوچھا کہ آپ اپنا تعارف تو کرائے. کہا, تو حسین کو جانتی ہے؟ کہا, بے شک جانتی ہوں, ارے وہ تو میرے آقا و مولا ہے. کہا, تو مسلم ابن عقیل کو جانتی ہے؟ کہا, یقیناً جانتی ہوں, جانتی ہوں, وہ تو وہ میرے مولا کے نائب ہیں جنہیں اس شہر کوفہ میں میرے مولا نے بھیجا. کہا, وہ مسلم میں ہی ہوں. یہ سننا تھا اس مومنہ نے اپنے گھر کا دروازہ کھول دیا, مولا یہ آپ کا گھر ہے, تشریف لائیے. جناب مسلم کیا شان ہے, ہاشمی جوان کیا شان ہے, آپ کی عظمت کیا ہے, تشریف لائے ہیں مومنہ کے گھر کے سرداب میں. ساری رات عبادت میں بسر کی, تلاوت و مناجات, اور اس کے بعد جب فجر کی نماز صبح کا انگام آتا ہے اور گھوڑوں کی ٹاپیں سنائی دی, اب ہاشمی غیرت سے گوارا نہیں हुआ कि घर के अंदर रहे ना, कहीं ऐसा ना हो कि यश किया उस मोमिना के घर चले आए, घर के अंदर आ जाए। अरे जी चाहता है जना मैं मुस्लिम से कहूं, अरे मौला जरा सरे आशूरा के देखिए किस अंदाज से अहले हरम एक खेमे से दूसरे खेमे अपने हिजाब की हिफाजत में बीबियां जा रही है। यहां तक के शहजादी ज़ैनब ने इमाम सज्जाद से शरी मसला दरियाफ्त किया बाहर निकलने से पहले। चुनांचे जनाब मुस्लिम बाहर निकल के आए, यको तन्हा है, इब्ने ज़ियाद की फौज के साथ मुकाबला कर रहे हैं, इब्ने फौज के ज़ियाद की फौज के मुकाबले में डट के मुकाबला किया। यहां तक के जब जख्मों से चूर हुए तो उनको कैदी असीर बनाया गया। अब इब्ने ज़ियाद के दरबार में जब लाया जाता है तो दरबान उस दरबार का दरबान कहता है सल्लम अलल अमीर, अमीर पे सलाम करो। मेरे मौला जनाब मुस्लिम जवाब देते हैं माली अमीर उनसे वरन हुसैन, मेरा हुसैन के अलावा कोई अमीर नहीं है। क्या अजमत है मेरे मौला की। जब पानी पेश किया गया, पानी पेश किया किसी शख्स ने, आपने पानी मांगा, आपके दांतों से आपके मुंह से खून जारी था, बार बार खून पानी में मिल गया, तीन मर्तबा पानी पेश किया गया मगर पानी तलावल नहीं फरमा सके। यहां तक के फरमाया कि खुदा यही चाहता है कि मैं प्यासा इस दुनिया से जाऊं। बाल्फाज अलीगढ़ यहां जनाब मुस्लिम यकीनन अरे आप मौला की मोहब्बत में शहीद हो रहे हैं। मौला भी प्यासे इस दुनिया से गए, मौला का नायक भी प्यासा इस दुनिया से गया। दारुल अमारा की छत पे लाया जाता है, दो रकत नमाज पढ़ने की, दो रकत नमाज की मोहलत मांगी, नमाज अदा की और फिर मेरे मौला को सलाम किया, आखिरी सलाम हुसैन को किया। यहां तक के रिवायत में है अरे जब मेरे मौला सफरे रात में थे और आपको जनाबे मुस्लिम की शहादत की खबर मिलती है तो रिवायत में है जनाबे मुस्लिम की यतीम बच्ची को बुलाया, यतीम बच्ची को बुलाया, उस बच्ची को बिठाया, उसके सर पे शफकत के साथ हाथ फेरा। आप जानते हैं ना कितना सवाब है इस्लाम में यतीम बच्चों के सर पे हाथ फेरने का। बच्ची कहती है अरे मौला आप तो ऐसे फेर रहे हैं हाथ, अरे जैसे मेरे बाबा मर गए हो, मैं यतीम हो गई हूँ। आपने फरमा दिया तुम्हारे बाबा नहीं है तो हुसैन ही तुम्हारे बाबा है। जनाब सकीना ये मंजर देख रही थी। यहाँ तक के रिवायत में है जब रुख्सत आखिर के बाद मेरे मौला रवाना हुए रोजे आशूर, अब जो आहट महसूस की पीछे मुड़ के देखा तो सीने पे सोने वाली सकीना पीछे पीछे आ रही है। मौला उतरे पुश्ते फरस से उतरे, सकीना ने कहा बाबा मुझे भी उसी तरीके से बिठाइए, मैं मुझे भी उसी तरीके से मेरे सर पे हाथ फेरिए जैसे जनाब मुस्लिम की बच्ची के सर पे फेरा था। मैं जानती हूँ कि आप वापस नहीं आएंगे।
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بارلاح پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما، پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما، انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما، تمام علماء ربانیین، تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار، تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما، تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما، تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما، تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما، بائلہ بانی مجلس کی اس عبادت کو قبول فرما، ان کے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما، بائلہ ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائے، ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما، ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے۔ ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العلیم بجاہ محمد و آلہ الطاہرین، یا حسین
یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین۔ Y'all say.